Hello, and welcome to Fantastic Comic Fan. I am your host, R.T. Fleming, and it is my mission to help you find your next digital comic book pick from the golden age to now. I have been reading comic books for over 40 years, and have never lost my passion for comic books. It's something I try to pass on to old and new readers. It's April 8, 2023, and this is episode 155 of the show. For the first time in months, I've managed to put out two shows in two Mondays in a row. Now, in the past, I've talked about some of the personal setbacks in my life that impacted the podcast and delayed some of the shows. Another reason I took a pause in some of the shows is because I want the podcast to go to a different level without adding a lot of resources or time. One way is a new software program that I've been slowly trying to learn. When you work a 10-hour work shift, it doesn't leave you a lot of time afterwards until you have your days off. It's a video editor that does a lot of things cost-effectively and much easier. I can take a podcast taping, either video or sound, and edit it much better than before. For a while, I would edit down sound files, taking out pauses or ums or other things that don't make the guests shine as much as they could. The problem with that, is that a 15 or 20 minute taping might take an hour to edit. Then there were the times I had to do an emergency taping, like a Kickstarter, and there was no time to edit. Or the times I put three or four shows out. It got to the point where I did the bare minimum of editing. And that didn't sit well with me. Look, this is a hobby, but I do try to treat the show as a business. And that should extend to the quality of how the podcast sounds. So part of the delay has been learning some more of the software to make the show a better experience for everyone. As you really know, there's some really cool tech things going on around. And one thing podcast-centric is the video and audio program called Descript. First, it transcribes the taping into something like Microsoft Word. And as I visually scan the transcript, I can edit the taping straight from the transcript. With a simple one-second command, I can take all the filler words out, like the ums and the so's. If I think I'm rambling off topic, I can easily cut that out. Now, there's a lot more to the program. I'm still learning it. But today is the first time that I'm using the software a little bit, and it really has cut down on some of the editing. I hope to be on a more regular schedule and run through some of those tapings that I've taped over the past few months. Mostly, I think for a bit, I'm going to focus on some solo shows. I want to build the podcast up with more regular shows without the pressure of guests and the responsibilities that go along with it. But today's guest, Michael Fitzpatrick Troy, was on last fall to promote the Big Bang Comics Kickstarter. If you've never read Big Bang Comic, you're missing out on a superheroes done in the Golden and Silver Age style. This publisher has been around for decades. Google Big Bang Comics and be pleasantly surprised. We got to talking after taping and offered him a chance to come out and talk about comics. It's fantastic to have creators come out and talk about their project, but I also like to have guests come out and talk, well, just about comic books. And the way it works is I have a guest pick the comic because if they're excited about it, hopefully it will nudge you to go out and try something different. Look at the podcast feed. You'll find shows from the Golden Age up to now, and most shows are bite-sized, about 20 minutes. Well, Michael picked John Byrne's Run and Alpha Flight in the Bronze Age. Great stories in the Bronze Age. Marvel seems to have shown a little more interest in the team lately. Recently, there was that miniseries, which I thought captured the flavor of what I feel Alpha Flight is all about. And last fall, Marvel put on an Alpha Flight omnibus collecting those early John Byrne adventures. I think the show turned out pretty well, and I hope you enjoy it. Now, Michael also runs a pretty fantastic comic book YouTube channel. He talks about it on the show, and you can also find a link to it in the show notes. Oh, and the show was taped last fall, and I meant to get it out sooner, but, you know, life happens. And I hope to get on that regular schedule, and we'll see how things go. But if you're new to the podcast, thanks for checking it out. I hope you continue to sample the show. Please look at the show notes, follow the podcast on social media, and subscribe. I want the podcast to continue to grow, and as said, I want to introduce fans to a different way of discovering and reading fantastic comic books. Now on to today's show. Welcome back to the podcast. I have today Michael Troy, who also runs a YouTube channel. We are going to be talking about Alpha Flight, particularly Alpha Flight, John Byrne. And this is also exciting for me because I've never done an episode on John Byrne. So, Michael, before we talk about that, tell us a little bit about your YouTube channel that you got going on and how long it's been running and all that good stuff.
Sure. Thanks so much for having me, Ron. It is my YouTube channel is Michael Fitzroy TV. It's a comic book based YouTube channel. I'm a comic book artist myself. I've been a comic book fan since I was, they taught me how to read comic books. And during the pandemic, my sister started sending me a bunch of my old comics from my dad's attic in Ohio. So I thought it would be a perfect time to launch a YouTube channel that I've been wanting to do and share my love of comic books and my old collection with everybody, since I have a pretty great collection. And it's evolved into like from reviews to like interviews and anything comic book related. So it's a fun channel. It's definitely comic book positivity. So definitely check it out if you want a lighter fare when it comes to comic books.
I will have a link in the show notes for that. Now, when I bring a guest on, Michael, I usually let them pick the topic. And you picked Alpha Flight, John Byrne Run. Why did you pick that particular segment of Alpha Flight and John Byrne?
It's funny because Alpha Flight is one of my all-time favorite books. I know it's so obscure and people are really either obsessed with it or they don't understand it, get it, think it's like a joke. John Byrne, I love John Byrne. He's absolutely one of my favorite comic book creators. And I do a lot of his books on my show. And I feel like he still maintains a high level of popularity because the episodes that I do John Byrne issues on definitely get the most ratings and the most positive reaction. But I just love Alpha Flight is very interesting in a lot of ways. I don't know if you want to start talking about it yet.
Let me talk about a little bit first. You're right. Well, let's talk about John Byrne for a quick second. John Byrne's stories after all these decades, because he hasn't done a really good run of stories. All of his older stories, like his run in Fantastic Four, Alpha Flight, Namor, his Superman stuff, to me, all his stuff actually still stand up like decades later. Do you agree with that?
100%. As a matter of fact, like not too long ago, I reread the Wonder Woman run. And there's a lot of crazy things in it and a few things that make you raise your eyebrows. However, overall, I like it was so enjoyable, you know. And he's had so many great runs on so many books and long runs at that, you know. It's funny because, you know, comparatively speaking, it's like, you know, Alpha Flight, it was such a short run from him, but it was still 28 issues, three of which were double-sized issues. And that's unprecedented in this day's market, you know what I mean? So, and that's just a blip on the John Byrne map, you know what I mean? Next to Jack Kirby, I don't think there's any other artist who's drawn more pages of Fantastic Four. There can't possibly be, and there never will be, you know what I mean? You know, his X-Men run, I mean, that was relatively short and just, but talk about lightning in a bottle, right? I mean, people, that will forever exist in people's mind as like the best run on the X-Men, the Claremont Byrne run, you know what I mean? So, but he's had so many great runs all on his own. I mean, he did six issues of Hulk. I mean, She-Hulk is one of his best series ever. I mean, you know, his legendary revamp of Superman. I mean, you could just go on and on and on about John Byrne.
Even though Superman has changed since then, the seeds of Superman is still in that John Byrne run from what he started back in like 85 and 86. You can still connect the dots to your current Superman back to John Byrne back during that time. Would you agree?
100%. I think part of the key to that is that if you look at like the Christopher Reeve Superman movie, I think that that is like one of the most perfect superhero movies. And well, I mean, you'd be hard pressed to find a better Superman than Christopher Reeve, you know, and John Byrne was very influenced, very beholden to that movie and his revamp. And I think a lot of that shows. And I think just the love of the movie and the way people responded to that is the same way that people responded to John Byrne's Superman, even though, sadly, it is one of his regrets. And he said if he could go back in time and they asked him to do it again, he would not do it.
That I did not know about. Alpha Flight has kind of, to me, gotten lost over the years. It's kind of lost its cachet. It even lost what it's supposed to be as a group. I know it was floating around in space for a while. But back in the day, Alpha Flight was really good. And I read Alpha Flight off of Marvel Unlimited, and the original run went from 83 through 94, lasted 130 issues. That's a long run for, you know, a comic book at the time. Unfortunately, for some reason, Marvel Unlimited only has the John Byrne run of Alpha Flight in their archives. You would think a service that's been around for 15 or so years would have something like all of Alpha Flight right there to read, but that's not the case. Now, you got the Alpha Flight Omnibus, and that, yes, that's the one I was looking at. Is it worth the value for you? Is it worth it?
150%. And I'd like to point out that the, one of the...
It's like, what, 3 inches long? What is that, about 3 inches?
A couple of things I want to tell you about this is that, first of all, it rights a wrong in history. It puts this cover originally appeared on the Marvel News magazine, Marvel Age, issue 2, with an interview of John Byrne to, you know, sort of prepare people for Alpha Flight. But then when the issue came out, it was the famous, you know, cover, Step Aside Superheroes, and it had like the X-Men and the Fantastic Four on it. You know, this is a job for Alpha Flight. And I just think that that was more gimmicky and felt like it should have been the cover of Marvel Age. And this should have been the cover of Alpha Flight number one, because it's so freaking iconic. This is 100% the best image of Alpha Flight ever, you know, done by his creator, the original roster. And also I'd like to point out is that, you know, even though he only did 28 issues, you don't even get to issue one before 200 pages into this omnibus, because it has their first X-Men appearances and their other, they had a lot of really weird random appearances around the Marvel universe, like in ROM Space Night.
That's true. Yes.
I don't think the ROM issues are in here. No, yeah, that must have been a copyright issue for sure. I do have those, though, and I have reviewed them for my channel, but which is awesome, because then you get to see Steve Ditko draw Alpha Flight, which, I mean, how cool is that, right? A lot of people probably don't know that. But Alpha Flight is making a comeback. Marvel just released a new series. I believe it's a miniseries, since the 5-issue miniseries seems to be their bread and butter these days. But I do have the first couple of issues, and for the first time in a long time, I feel like they are kind of doing it right. So maybe we're in store for an Alpha Flight comeback, which I'm also kind of on the fence with, because I feel like Alpha Flight is kind of like the Twin Peaks of comic books. You know what I mean? It's kind of obscure and kooky and quirky, and it had really great parts and it had really awful parts, and people either really love it or don't understand it. But when it when things like that become more popular, I sort of feel like I lose ownership in a way. Do you know what I mean?
You know, Byrne had no intention of making Alpha Flight into a book. He says, according to him, Alpha Flight only existed as a team to fight the X-Men. When Marvel asked for the Alpha series, he didn't want to do it for a long time, and he didn't think he could do much with the series, which kind of shows you that he only stayed there for 36 issues, and he's like, I'm done. I really don't have much more to say. But like you said, you know, those 36 issues had some really cool stuff. I like to point out Alpha Flight number 6, which was the White Page issue. You know which one I'm talking about, where Snowbird is fighting?
It is. And I do want to correct you. It is only 28 issues, not 36.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Actually, no, it's
You're right. He did the first 28. You're correct. I was looking at something different. But yeah.
The famous, infamous Snowblind with the Snowbird. It almost sounds like a joke the way it was set up, like Snowbird battles, you know, in a snowstorm for 6 pages, and John Byrne gets paid to not draw the pages.
Because Shooter said it was an artistic decision on Byrne's part, so he paid them the full rate. But you know, even those blank pages, to me, they are would be kind of harder to do than the action pages, because you're just working on dialogue to do a whole, 6-page action sequence. I mean, that was kind of creative to do that.
I think so, too. I think that, you know, a comic book artist is also a storyteller. And if that is the choice they made to tell the story, and it's effective and tells the story, then they deserve their rate. I mean, A little bit of a cop out, sure, but still kind of, I mean, look, we're still talking about it 40 years later, so.
Yeah, I read when we were prepping for this, I read that first John Byrne run. I'm like, oh, wow, he did some really interesting, not only the Snowbird, but spoiler alert, issue 12 had a shocking, unexpected death, which
yes.
took a lot of people by surprise. And to him, he was the least interesting character of all. That's why he killed them all. And I also liked issue 13, where half the book had no dialogue. It was just, I believe it was like a dream sequence and there was nothing there. I'm like, wow, this actually works. And then issue 17 goes back to X-Men 109, which is a cover of a redo of the 109. The issue 17 cover is a redo of that. And you actually have chunks of their first appearance incorporated into the storyline for issue 17. It's just, for what he did for 36 issues, he did some really creative and innovative stuff, which is what Byrne did. I mean, if you remember back in Fantastic Four, he took a comic book that was like that and did the whole issue, flipped it on its side for one of the, the storylines. I'm like, wow. And I don't think very many people did that with their comic books, flipped them so that they were read this way instead of, up and down. So what else you got to say? Because I'm talking here and you're the guest, so you go on.
Well, I just want to say, as you were talking about the death of Guardian, it occurred to me that, like, how shook I was at the time, because I was an Alpha Flight or a huge Alpha Flight fan, and I'm a little kid, and like it was before the internet, and so they had announced, there was a house ad, because they had house ads in comic books that would sometimes, come before stories, and it, announced their one shall surely die in Alpha Flight. And that was so scary to me because I love them all so much. I was afraid of which one was going to die. And it was shocking. It was an actual shocking moment in comic book, which I feel cannot be done today. Because, nowadays, not only would we know that Guardian was dying, we would know that he was being resurrected, when he was being resurrected, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean?
Death doesn't matter anymore. There's no such thing as death in comic books. But back then, you're right, when Mac died, they're like, that's it for a while. He's not coming back from this. And it did have a very dramatic moment for me also.
Yeah, I haven't been like a regular X-Men reader for several years. And anytime I think about going back, when I hear things like the fact that they now live on Genosha, or not Krakoa, and they can pretty much resurrect mutants whenever they want to, I was like, oh, I'm so not going back into this. Like, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. It's like literally just giving you like the cheapest way out to resurrect your characters, which you're going to do anyway. So
yes.
That was so crazy to me.
The interesting thing with this run is that when he left this book, he literally switched creative teams with Incredible Hulk. So he went over to Incredible Hulk, Bill Mantlo, and I think Sal Buscemi, I'm not 100% certain, but I know Bill came through, and he wrote Alpha Flight for a while.
No, it's so much more interesting than that. It was actually Mike Mignola coming over from Hulk to do Alpha Flight.
Right, and that's right. Oh, you're right, exactly. I'm sorry, I got the name wrong.
And hating superheroes on top of it.
That I didn't know.
And I was such a Byrne fan, once again, shook. Like, I thought his stuff was so ugly. I thought it was horrifying. But of course, I quickly changed gears and am a huge Mignola fan. And now look back at his early Alpha Flight stuff with different eyes. You know what I mean? It looks so good to me. I love it so much.
And Bill Mantlo was a big creative force back then. And it was said at one time that he wrote more characters outside of Stan Lee, because during the 70s, he was the big fill-in artist. He was known to fill in a lot of comic books. And then in the early 90s, he was out rollerblading, got hit by a car, and he's been in hospice for decades now.
I know. It's very, very horrible. Tragic. It is very tragic. And I feel like Bill Mantlo it's funny because he is super prolific and wrote so many of my favorite comic books. I mean, he wrote Micronauts, he wrote Cloak and Dagger, he wrote Spider-Man, wrote Rom. I, as much as I love him, I do sort of have a little bit of resentment for him because I feel like he really did Alpha Flight dirty. It was so weird because that was John Byrne's desire to switch teams, right? And creative teams. I mean, that was kind of, he pulled a fast one in my mind, but especially since he made them switch creative teams and then only stayed on Hulk for six issues
yes.
When he was supposed to do longer than that. Very crazy in my mind. But I feel like Bill Mantlo, maybe I need to revisit it. It's funny because, you know, you say they in the database, there's nothing beyond issue 28.
No, there isn't.
They've never collected any of the post John Byrne Alpha Flight. So there's like very little love for Alpha Flight to begin with and a lot less for post Byrne Alpha Flight.
Technically, I'm surprised they put this Alpha Flight omnibus together. Because you're talking about a comic book that came out in the 80s, and you're right, it's no longer significant. And though we know John Byrne, he's not really a major player in comic books anymore. And for a person to put down $125, you know, that's a big chunk of money to gamble on, you know, Marvel's end to put out this big omni. To me, it's worth it. It's like a huge, huge thing. But I would like to see them do more Alpha Flight. Hopefully they'll add more in the future.
Well, I feel, and I hope they do it correctly, but I feel like we might be in for an Alpha Flight renaissance here with the new miniseries. I feel if it sells well. The omnibus, I mean, the last omnibus they did, like, completely sold out, next to impossible to find, super expensive on eBay. So, I mean, they're basically printing money, I feel, with John Byrne anyway. I mean, I feel not only do they not give Alpha Flight love, but they don't give John Byrne hardly any love. I know he's a cranky old man, slightly problematic. He said some shit in the day. He was kind of an a-hole. But, oh, sorry if I'm not supposed to cuss.
No, you're good. But
the legacy of his career, I mean, you know, it's like when they do these anniversary things, like, where's the John Byrne variant? You know what I mean? Like, he's sort of retired, but he after he stopped doing regular comics, you know, he did stuff with IDW for a long time, like Star Trek and blah, blah, blah. And that was kind of like the tail end of his regular publishing career. And then he was just doing commissions for a long time because he felt like those were the only versions of the characters he had any interest in drawing. But one of the craziest things he did in his retirement was producing like almost 30 issues of a bootleg X-Men comic book called X-Men Elsewhen that you can get on his download for free on his website called burnrobotics.com. And it's amazing. It's penciled and lettered and definitely could use a little bit of editorial guidance as far as the storytelling goes. But the art is amazing. It's never looked better. Like, he is at the top of his game when it comes to art. So there is absolutely no reason for Marvel and DC not to sort of, I don't know, try to give him some love.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm hoping we have more going on with Alpha Flight in the future. Before we wrap this up, you get the final thoughts on Alpha Flight and you get to say what you want to say.
All right. I am just like a huge Alpha Flight fan. I always will be. I have a secret project in development that has something to do with Alpha Flight that I will hopefully be able to announce soon. I'll tell you about it after we stop recording if you want me to.
Yes.
And I think Alpha Flight is severely underrated. I think it's definitely the Twin Peaks of Marvel comic books. It's especially the Byrne run is sublime. It deserves love, a second look. Or it's placed in obscurity. I don't know. Love it or leave it. Alpha Flight is our best Canadian comic book.
Exactly. If you don't know who John Byrne is, you need to look him up. He's iconic. And check out his Alpha Flight. It's a very different run. It's a very unique comic book all by itself. Michael, thank you very much for joining me today. We'll have you on again. I love talking about John Byrne and Alpha Flight. It's my first time talking about Byrne. He was also my favorite character or creators growing up. Thank you so much for joining me today.
All right. Thanks so much, Ron. It was a pleasure.
Well, that's it for today's podcast. Again, I would love to hear from you, fantasticcomicfan@gmail.com. Remember, new episodes every Wednesday. Thanks so much for listening to this episode, and I hope to see you next time.